trust is like change in your pocket. And the more when you demonstrate trust in someone, they give you more change.
You're busy, we know. We cut through the BS and give you straight talk advice, whether you are a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out. Our Small Business Big Insights podcast dives straight to the point on key topics and features interviews with industry experts and successful small business owners who share their deep insights. Tune in each month to gain new ideas and inspiration for your own small business. Welcome to the Small Business Big Insights podcast. So excited to share this episode today with some big insights from our very special guest, Rob Dale, who helps us better understand various concepts that allow us to expand beyond the traditional business mindset. I invite you right now to subscribe to the podcast, or you'll miss out on some exciting upcoming episodes. Also, give us a review on your podcast platform to help us spread the message. Let us know how we're doing. So today we're joined by Rob Dale. With a balance in energy and warmth, Rob invites people into conversation where they're challenged, inspired, and motivated to grow. His ability to lower barriers and build trust creates an atmosphere where change happens. His weekly video talks on Living Richly podcast have been viewed by people in over 20 countries. He earned the Master Coach status with Rhapsody Strategies, an award-winning coaching firm. Rob inspires business owners and individuals to discover their purpose and live it out fully. He desires to help people be the difference in their family, community, and business. On a typical Friday night, Rob can be found enjoying a good cigar and a glass of scotch with a few good friends. We're lucky enough to have Rob with us today. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Eric, so much. And I love that you emphasized it has to be a good cigar.
Yeah, there's the good ones and the bad ones, and yes, I'm sure and you I've have your favorites both. And yeah. Oh man, I remember before we get into this here, I remember we went to Mexico. There was some good cigars there. What's your favorites?
Oh, I've got quite a few of them, to be perfectly honest. I certainly like, a lot of people will right away lean towards the Cuban cigars. Cuban cigars have gotten so expensive now. I'm more into some of the Dominican cigars. Diesel is a brand that I will smoke a lot. But any cigar that is, decent and has got some quality to it. And if it's mixed with some nice scotch, then it's a good cigar for sure.
Even better. So let's get straight to it here. What do you think most business owners are missing out in their life? This seems to be kind of a topic that you feel passionate about. So share with us, what do you think?
Yeah, and what a big question to get started with. There's no softballs in this podcast.
No, straight
Eric,
to it.
I love it. It is an interesting. I've had the opportunity now to work with business owners through originally a company called Breakthrough Coach, and then we launched Rhapsody Strategies. That's 9 years. We just celebrated our 9th anniversary a short time ago. And we work with all kinds of different business owners, small, medium, large, incredibly successful, mom and pop shops, you name it, and all kinds of executives on top of that. And it is interesting because when we launched our podcast around the Living Richly model, it came out of the notion that we saw all these incredibly successful business owners, they had achieved the things that they thought would bring contentment, happiness, joy, whatever word you want to use there. Mm-hmm. And yet we're feeling incredibly empty. We're feeling like, is this it? And that there was something missing. And so over time, as we continue to have these conversations, and I continue to have these conversations, one of the things that I discovered, it's most of the time, if they really were to narrow it down to kind of summarize it in the most simplest way, what they're missing is true connection.
True connection.
They have built a business. They are surrounded by people who depend on them, who rely on them, who are connected to them via what they do more than connected to them around who they are. And true connection only comes through who we are, not what we do, because what we do can change. But business owners get so busy. They're so focused on, you know, running the day to day. Most of them are working way too many hours for way too little profit. Yeah. And so in the midst of doing all this kind of stuff, they've kind of lost that place where they can express who they truly are. And they're wearing their business owner hat all the time. And all of their interactions with people are on that level. And so at the heart of that, I think is the notion of true connection.
Yeah, I think that's deep. I mean, I think like you said, like I've seen it from our own clients and my own experience, you know, people put their time and energy and effort into their business. And then, you know, maybe that financially it's successful, like it grows and there's revenue and all that kind of stuff. But then you lose track of who you as a person really are. And then, and when you lose track of that, you really lose track to like, what is your actual happiness? Like, who are you really? And how do you fulfill your life? So that's super deep.
And Eric, with that, what starts to happen is, and I've seen this with so many business owners, if they take time off, if they take a vacation, you know, many of them don't, but those that do will often do it because their significant other is either putting the pressure on that, hey, we need to go away, or the kids are driving them nuts and they need to get away. But even when they're on vacation, they're checking their emails, they're responding to clients, they're still not truly taken off. And it's almost like the sequence of, you know, the way I put it with some is you don't own a business, the business owns you. And so an obligation. The reason why life is that sense of what's missing is they have become a slave to their business. And you know, I've got two clients right now, one of them as we speak, has just begun a 3-week vacation where are completely disengaged. Now, we spent almost a year preparing for this, but they got finally to a point now where they're going to be, for the first time in since their business started, 3 weeks where they are, the only way they were able to manage to do this, they're going to check in twice to the person who is overseeing things while they're away. They're going to check in. They've got one scheduled for this week and then one scheduled in another week and a half. Those two check-ins, and that's it. They're not even looking at their emails. And they're testing out, can I actually do this? And it excites me when they do that, because that's when you start to get back to, okay, who am I really? Who am I when I'm not being a business owner? And that's probably one of the most critical things that a person can do.
Yeah. And because a lot of people have been running their business for years, right? So they've forgotten what life was like before and who they were back then. And I'm glad you mentioned like the whole spouse and kids, because it comes back to like family and really what truly, really a lot of the motivators for people to even have a business and to do well is to support their family and do that, right? So yeah, that's really interesting.
Those that are maybe not, you know, that are not business owners who are listening to this episode, one of the things that they may not realize, being the owner of a business can be one of the most lonely things.
Oh man.
Because you are carrying so much of a burden. You can't put that burden on your employees. You don't want to bring that burden home to your family. And so they're carrying this burden and people go, well, what's wrong with you? And they don't know how to express it. So I think that's the big thing is, and so I'll go back to that summary statement of true connection. If we can find a way to connect to people at that authentic level, it just releases so many things.
Yeah. And how do you actually go back to who you are? Like, how do you actually find, I'm going to say, your purpose, and how do you live that out in your experience?
Well, I think at the top of that list is you have to listen to the Living Richly podcast.
That's a secret.
Sorry, that was a shameless plug. it's why we launched what we launched and what we were doing is to respond to that question. Mm-hmm. It's how do you live your best life? How do you find what that is? And I think if I was going to give three kind of steps to doing that, the first is you need to figure out what makes you what makes you feel alive, what really kind of fires you up, what makes you passionate, what really just excites you. I think you need to be able to figure out, what do I value? What matters to me? What you know, both with what gets me fired up, but also just what causes me to lean in on something versus not. And then I think a third element of that is find people who are already doing those things that fire you up and, follow them, connect to them. You know, and if possible, ask them to mentor you. If it's somebody who's kind of beyond that scale of mentoring, read their books, lean into that. I know for me, when I get passionate or I'm fired up about things, when I was trying to figure out my purpose, and one of the things I would encourage along the lines of this is, and I encourage every business owner, I encourage every person, is develop a personal purpose statement. We do this in business all the time.
Yeah.
But to do it in your personal life is, what's my purpose statement? You read mine. It's part of my bio that I often use, that notion of inspiring people. And, you know, we say business owners, individuals, but inspiring people to live out their purpose, to find their purpose and live it out fully, to help them make them the best influence in their family, in their community, and in their business. Those are things that over time I've been able to define as my personal business statement. Here's the nice thing is, if tomorrow I stopped being a business coach and I took a job as a greeter at a, you know, at a Walmart or a sure. superstore or something.
Yeah.
Can I still live out my purpose there? Well, if I can, I'm going to be fired up no matter what the role is. And that's what, there's no small, the role doesn't define you. It's what you bring into the role that you have. And that comes out of your purpose statement. And so it starts with, there's a lot of components to it, but I would certainly say it starts with what fires you up and what really matters to you. And if you can start to identify what those are, and then you start to say, what are things I can do that help me express this genuinely day to day, and do that.
Okay. And would you say that that's what brings a business owner out of the traditional business mindset? Like, it's about kind of thinking about, you know, your own goals and your own kind of vision, and then seeing how the business helps you with that. Like, is that the idea?
It's a part of it for sure. It's a great observation. It's a part of it for sure. Jim Collins, and I think it's in his book, Good to Great. He talks about having the BHAG, right? The big, hairy, audacious goals.
Right.
And but there's this idea that when you first, we often start a business and we our mindset in business is, I have to do, it's all the checking all the boxes. Reality is, life isn't a bunch of boxes that are checked off. Right. Life and a business is not just that. It is that, but it's not just that. And I think that when what shifts you out of your mindset is when you get passionate about what matters to you. If you have employees, you take time to find out and get passionate about what matters to them. And with your clients, when you take the time, and it takes time to do this, to get passionate about what matters to them, and you combine all of that, that takes you into a completely different place. It's amazing to me. So one of the first exercises I do with most business owners when they hire me as a business coach, one of the first exercises I do is I get them to walk through their vision, their vision, their mission, and their values. And over, you know, probably 80% of the time, their eyes gloss over and they go, "What next?" You know, like, "I've done that, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt." And I'll be like, "No, you haven't done it. You think you've done it, you haven't done it." And most of the time when I say, "Tell me what your values are," they can't read them. They can't recite them. They have to go look them up. So I go, "Okay, so you don't have, they're not clear. They're not documented. Your staff don't own them." But when you do those things right, what happens is your values, your vision, and your mission, they have to drive everything else you do in the organization. How you interact with the people that you interact with, how you connect to the staff. And when you start to look at the heart of business is people. It's not money. It's not doing things. It's not checking off boxes. It's people. And when you get passionate around that, around what matters to them, you'll never lack in seeing success in business for sure.
Yeah. I like how, you know, you're talking about not just finding your own passion, but also getting that from your employees and your team members, and then going back to your clients, like, what are they passionate about? What's your team passionate about? What are you passionate about? And then finding that alignment so that everybody has the same aligned goals and work towards the same thing. That's huge. Yeah. Wow.
One of my favorite quotes of all time is a quote by a guy named Ken Blanchard. And the quote is, feedback is the breakfast of champions. And I will oftentimes say to my clients, hey, what did you have for breakfast this morning? What's the feedback that you had for breakfast this morning? And they chuckle because they know that it's, you know, and I emphasize it. If you're not getting feedback from your staff, if you're not getting feedback from your clients, and if you're not giving yourself feedback or getting feedback from others around you, you are missing out on, again, what makes someone a champion. It's the breakfast. It's what you start every day with, is figuring out, what do I need to know, and who do I need to speak to get that information? And that will absolutely change how you function in a business.
Yeah. I remember hearing a talk from Elon Musk, and they were asking him what the biggest challenge was for him. And the biggest challenge that he mentioned was actually getting real feedback from people around him, because people would just tend to agree with him because he's Elon Musk, and they don't challenge him. And it's like, no, just challenge me. Like, actually tell me what I'm doing wrong, you know? And so that can actually be a big problem. Yeah.
I'm giving you some of my favorites today, Eric. That was my favorite quote. My favorite TED talk of all time is a TED talk called Dare to Disagree.
Okay.
And Dare to Disagree. And I apologize, 'cause I'm blanking on the communicator.
We'll find it for the show notes. Yeah.
But the Dare to Disagree. Yeah. Put that in the show notes. And in there, she talks about the notion that far too many organizations have echo chambers that just echo back what the owner wants to hear. But when you create around you a group of people who are willing to give you the constructive criticism and the feedback that you need in order to be better, that absolutely changes things. And it's a phenomenal TED talk.
Mm. Okay. And I guess, like, you've mentioned a couple books and a couple quotes that are really impactful for you. Are there specific business principles that you feel that business owners should deeply follow?
Yeah. Well, certainly along that, probably the best book that talks about principles is the book called Principles by Ray Dalio. And just an absolute gem of a book that Ray Dalio put out a number of years ago. I would say this, if I was going to outline some of the most important principles, and they almost go hand in hand, at the top of that list, culture matters.
The employee culture. I don't know if
it's Gary Vaynerchuk or somebody who said, culture is the backbone of every organization. I absolutely believe that culture matters. Now, culture is defined different ways, but there's a lot of components to what creates a culture. But culture matters. And your organization has a culture, whether it happened accidentally or whether you created it and designed it deliberately, it's there. So you might as well design it deliberately. But culture matters. People matter.
Yeah. Don't let it.
Is another principle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That people matter. It is critical. And then the third principle that I would put out that I think is absolutely critical that business owners need to remind themselves all the time. And that is, it's actually just a little fun quote, but it's a business after all. And, you know, I will say this to business owners all the time. Listen, we're doing this really. Listen, we're helping out this person, or we're doing this. It's a business after all. You need to, like, you cannot be the most generous person in the world. And you appreciate this probably more than most.
Oh, yeah.
Cash flow is the lifeblood of a business. And if you're overspending what you're bringing in, hey, it's a business after all. So it may be your baby. It may be your passion. It may be, you know, something really wonderful that's going to change the world. But if you're not doing it in such a way that you are running it using fundamental business practices, at some point it's going to fall apart and you won't be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. So don't shortchange the fundamental business practices, the fundamental accounting practices, legal practices, you know, like documents, all of that stuff needs to be in there. And it's amazing. It blows my mind how many business owners short skirt the practices because they just, oh, we're just going to get this done. It's like, follow the systems, create the systems, all of that stuff is absolutely critical. So culture matters, people matter, and it's a business after all.
This episode of Small Business Big Insights is brought to you by ZenBooks. ZenBooks is a reimagined full-service online accounting experience. I work at ZenBooks, and we bring a fresh, unique, and modern approach to a very old-fashioned industry. We've been working remotely well before it was cool. And we're a team of advisors, accountants, and payroll professionals that provide ongoing, impactful insights to small business owners and key decision makers. That means that we get into the nitty-gritty of weekly calls with ongoing reporting, bookkeeping, payroll, tax filings, and tax planning. Even if you already have an accountant or a bookkeeper, or you have some accounting staff on your team, you should talk to ZenBooks about the tools and expertise that they have to offer. Check out ZenBooks at zenbooks.ca. Now let's get back to the episode.
Good. Yeah, those are good principles. And yeah, I feel like some business owners kind of sometimes feel that a business is just an extension of themselves, right? Like, and they feel right. Like it's just like, it's not its own entity, or it's not like its own actual business. It's just like, oh, it's kind of like just me, right? And I think that's kind of a fallacy that some business owners fall into.
And it's the reason why most businesses either don't survive past the 5-year mark, or they become this niche little, basically what happens is for a lot of business owners, they own a job,
right?
They don't own a business. Yeah. They own a job.
Yeah.
And for some, they're okay with that. Good. More power to you. But yeah. If you're trying to build a business, you cannot have that mindset for mm-hmm. sure.
And I've heard people approach you, in times of uncertainty, right? Like in times when there's a lot of change happening, there's a lot of like things to kind of figure out. And so I guess from your own experience, when clients approach you, what's the first step to deal with in a time of uncertainty?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's interesting. Most of my clients that I have reached out to me as a coach during some of their most successful times.
Really?
They reach out when they're winning awards and they're seeing incredible growth and there's all this success. And at that point they go, you know what, if I want to maintain this, if I want to make this the norm, I need to it's getting to be more successful than I'm kind of comfortable with. I need to bring someone in. And so we're always amazed that we actually get very few clients who reach out to us in crisis. They usually reach out to us at their peak of their, not the peak of their success, but in moments of success. Mm-hmm. But some do come to us in crisis. And then some of those companies come to us during crisis. It was interesting when COVID first hit. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we did is we scaled back. We went into kind of emergency mode.
Okay.
We thought that most of our clients would see us as a luxury item, a line item in their budget. And so we expected the majority of our clients to cut back on coaching during COVID. Mm. What shocked us was the opposite happened.
The opposite. Wow.
Is that almost every one of our clients either continued at their current engagement or increased the engagement with us during COVID.
Yeah.
And we saw, you know, some of our best years, certainly as a business, financially mm-hmm. as a business, were the COVID years. Mm-hmm. And the reason was exactly to your point, is that they were in this place. They had no one to talk to. They had no one to kind of lean into to help them figure out how they were going to navigate this unprecedented kind of thing that was happening around the world. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I say to anyone, business owner or just average person walking down the street who you know, happens to ask the question, not that that happens, but is when you are facing uncertainty, the absolutely first thing you need to do is figure out what I have control over.
What do I have control over?
And it's a Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, principle. And that is that you have things that you are within your control. You have things that are outside your control, and you have things you have influence over. And most people spend most of their time dwelling on things that are outside of their control.
Mm, yeah.
It's wasted energy.
Yeah.
It doesn't achieve anything other than raise your stress levels and worry. One of the most freeing things that happened for me is, and I don't always do this. I wish I was absolutely perfect at it, but it's a journey of learning. I'm really good at it, I think. And that is to stay in that circle of control,
right?
The influence in the circle of influence. I focus in, is this something I have control over? No, then I'm not putting any energy into it. Is this, you know, this I do? Oh, does it, can I influence? I had the talk recently at an event. I was a keynote speaker and they asked, and that was, I brought up about the notion of what is within your control and stop worrying about the stuff. And, you know, and somebody came up to me afterwards and says, well, what about something like the environment? I really don't have control over the environment. You know, shouldn't I be worried about it? And I said, oh, that's a great example to use. You have control over what you do, your role in the environment. So you can control whether you recycle, whether you pick up trash, whether you focus on your carbon footprint or whatever you want to talk about under that world of an environment. You have control over what you can do, which will influence perhaps others and the environment. But yeah, you have to accept the fact that, you know, some scientists will certainly make the argument, you know, again, whether we want to get into debate over climate change, some scientists will certainly make the argument, doesn't matter what we do, we're not going to change the ultimate end result of climate change. So I can lose sleep over the fact that three generations from now, you know, they're going to be in 110 degree weather all year round,
right?
Or I can just do what I can do now. And that's really what I'm getting at with that.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me of the stoic kind of philosophy, right? Where it's just kind of just control, or I guess stress about the things you can control, you know, and just everything else just happens, right? So
it really does. And it the release that happens when we do that, elite athletes get this, right? They focus in on what they can control. Most of us, we just lose sight of this, and it's something freeing. When you go, okay, do I have control over that? Yes. Oh, good. Now, and that takes, it's amazing how much stress is released just knowing that that's on me, that now I can do something about it, right? Because that's why people get overwhelmed. And that's what you want to do in a business. So a business owner comes and I can't control whether clients sign up with me. No, you can't. You can't force them. That's up to them. You can influence them. What you can control is how you show up and how you show your product or the value of your company, your services. There's so much you do have control over that will influence that decision. Some people, no matter what you do, they're not going to do it. And I've so now freed myself of the rejection of the, no, I don't want to work with you. That's so beyond me now. Like, it's like, okay, I don't have control over that.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know why you don't, it doesn't matter. Like, they have their own reasons, you know? And
again, feedback is the breakfast of champions. So even in a context like that, I may choose to get feedback as to, hey, why did you go a different direction? Can I just understand that? In other cases, again, after this many years, usually I can figure that one out, but that's the beauty of feedback.
Yeah. And I guess in your shoes, like you deal with a lot of small, medium, and even large businesses, and you get into such a good zone with them where they trust you, right? Like they need to be able to open up with you. They need to be able to feel like you're a confidant, or, you know, they need to feel trusted. And so how do you build trust? Like, how have you become so good at building trust in short periods of time? What's been your secret?
Yeah, that was such a great question. Trust is at the heart of so much of what business is, right? Business is a transfer of trust. John Maxwell, in his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, he had one of the laws is the law of trust, that trust is like change in your pocket. And the more when you demonstrate trust in someone, they give you more change. And when you fail to demonstrate trust, you're spending change. You want to make sure you always have some change in your pocket. You always want to make sure that you've got you're on the plus side of the ledger when it comes to trust. How do you build trust? For me, I can speak for myself. I've been training myself to show up authentically with everybody that I meet.
Yeah.
I used to, when I first started business coaching, it was interesting. When I first started business coaching, I've got, you know, again, listeners, if they look up some pictures of me, they'll see it, but I'm covered in tattoos and both my arms have got tattoos.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of tattoos and everything like this. And I remember in my old world, that was great. And the coming into a business coaching, I was embarrassed by this. I remember going to an Ottawa Board of Trade event and I wore wearing my jacket and it was hot. It was the middle of summer. So I had a short sleeve dress shirt underneath. And I had to say to myself, okay, remember, don't take off your jacket, this kind of stuff. Anyway, so I'm in the having breakfast at this thing and so, totally just subconsciously, I took my jacket off and hung it over the back of my chair. Oh, and man. As soon as I did it, I went, oh, damn, right now my arms are showing. And oh, and I was just like, oh, this sucks. So like, they're going to look at me and go, who's this guy? And I, you know, and I was brand, like I said, I was 6 months into coaching at that point.
Right.
Didn't understand this world or anything like that. And I remember a guy, he reached out to me the next day and he said, I'd like to book a meeting with you. I want to talk to you about coaching. I said, yeah, absolutely. And we went for coffee and he said to me, you want to know why I reached out to you? And I go, sure. I said, love to know. And he goes, when you took off your jacket and I saw your tattoos, he said, I thought, oh, this is a guy I can relate to. I bet you he's going to be somebody who will give me ideas outside of what others have, you know, the traditional thinking is.
Wow. Yeah.
And I realized in that moment that by just being myself, it sets me apart from others.
Yeah. Your authentic self.
And so, yeah. You know, that authenticity is so absolutely critical. And it's amazing to me how few people guard this, right? They think, okay, I'm a business owner. I'm going to have my LinkedIn profile, but I'm going to keep my Facebook profile or my Instagram. I'm going to hide those. I don't want people to see all the things I do. And you know, my attitude is I want people to connect to me. Like I encourage, I want you to connect to me, find me on Facebook, find me on LinkedIn, find me on Instagram, find me on whatever, Twitter, or whatever the threads, you know, find me on whatever platform is relevant in the moment. Let's see my life. Because if you find things that connect to you, you're more likely going to trust me. We trust people we like. And so what I want to do is build likability with someone. And if I can build likability, they're more likely to trust me. Now, they may like you, but think you're an idiot. So, right? They may like you, but go, I like them. They're a really great person, but I would never trust them with my business.
Right.
And that's where you also need to demonstrate that you're an authority. You need to demonstrate that you know your stuff.
Yeah.
I would encourage business owners. This is where somehow demonstrate that what you know, give away stuff, knowledge stuff, document, whatever, PDFs that demonstrate that you know what you're talking about. And I think another big one is what do other people say about me? Your social proof.
Right.
Do people, and it's, I cannot get over how many business owners do not put a priority on getting reviews from clients.
Right. Yeah.
And yet, if you were to, you know, I mean, I ask people this all the time. If you're thinking of going to a new restaurant, what do you do? One of the first things most people do is they search for them on Google and then they read the Google reviews.
Yeah.
What do other people say about this restaurant? Right? What do other people say about whatever it is? We go on and we look, we post on Facebook. Hey, I'm thinking, who can refer? Who knows a good accountant? Right. And then we take Facebook gets it. It's why when you see a suggested page shows up on your social media, above the page, it tells you which of your friends have already liked the page.
There's a social proof there. Yeah.
It's a social proof. So those are the things what I want to do. So when I'm interacting, I just started working with a new team. First day, they'd all worked together for 20 years. I didn't know them. So what I did is I had them go around the corner, around the room, and I said, I want you to tell me your name. Tell me what you do here. And I said, and then I want you to tell the group something about you that they don't know. And they all went, are you kidding me? We've been together for 20 years. How are we going to? I didn't say it'd be easy. Try and do it. But so they did. They'd started going around. It was amazing some of the things that they shared. But every time somebody shared, oh, this is something people maybe don't know, I found a way to go, oh yeah, you know what? I've done something similar to that. And I brought in a connection to that thing that they shared.
Right.
And afterwards, I even said to them, did you notice what I did? And one of them picked up and said, you were connecting to us each individually around something. And now suddenly we have a connection.
Yeah.
And it opens up trust.
Yeah.
So long, I took way too much time to answer that question,
yeah.
But there's a lot that falls into that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there are no shortcuts, right? So it's going to take a bit of time to explain how to build trust. That's cool too.
You don't it's like the employee who walks in and starts telling everyone how to do things. It's like, shut up and earn the voice, earn the opportunity to say something. You've got to be able to show up and let people know who you are.
Okay. And I guess, on your side, like, I mean, with all the people you're dealing with, you know, I'm sure you have very stressful environments and very stressful situations and stressful client matters that you're not even sure how to deal with. Like, how do you personally, as an individual, deal with the stress from your own work?
Yeah. We saw this during COVID. About 6 months into COVID, our coaches at the time, we had a bunch of coaches that were, and they were experiencing what we call compassion fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
They were so overwhelmed with caring for others. And we realized we needed to lean into the health of working with them. A couple of things I do to deal with stress. So I'm a big believer that everyone needs a coach, including coaches. My coach is not a business coach who I work with, but it's a counselor. It's a psychologist.
Okay.
And I meet with that psychologist on a monthly basis. One of the absolutely most transforming things was having the opportunity to interact with someone who is able to bring insight into my life, who doesn't play with my bullshit, but basically a challenge, right? So that's been a tremendous help is I have that release of that person to talk to. We need to talk things out in order to let them go. The other thing that I do that has really helped with stress is I've built out a list of rituals, things that help, you know, kind of guide me and direct me. They're based on my personal vision, my personal values, my purpose. And there are these rituals, so being outside in nature is a ritual. Reading is a ritual for me. Spending time in deep conversation is a ritual. My partner, Wendy, and I, we end the day every day with a opportunity just to sit and chat before we go to sleep. Wow. We all interact. Yeah. Sometimes it's 30 seconds. Sometimes it's 30 minutes. Mm. But they're rituals. And as soon as I'm feeling a lot of stress, I go, oh, when was the last time I leaned into my rituals? And I get back to those rituals and I encourage people to create those.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's deep. That's good. Yeah. I know, like, well, me and my spouse, we also have a little habit or ritual. We ask each other, like, what's your favorite part of your day, right? Kind of like feeling gratitude about whatever, like maybe you did have a really crappy day or whatever, but then you find the positive, you find the things you're grateful for.
And, I love that. I love that. Yeah, absolutely. It's whatever that works, whatever that question is. But you lean it and you protect those rituals as all, you know, no matter what, you protect those rituals.
Yeah. And I guess when it comes to your business and life, what have you felt as being your proudest accomplishment?
Yeah, I love this question. Right at the top of the list has to be my girls, my daughters.
Okay.
Incredibly proud of the women they've become. I'm an old man. I feel like it sometimes. I never feel like an old man until I tell people the age of my kids. And when I go, yeah, I've got a daughter who's 30 and a daughter who's 24.
Okay.
Then I feel old. When I realize that. But my daughters are just incredible. Their partners that they have in their lives, their significant others are just beautiful human beings. And every day I look and go, I just can't believe that I'm fortunate enough to be the dad of those two incredibly beautiful young women. Wow. So that would be at the top of my list. You know, I'm excited about the fact that 12 years ago, I left the world that I was in at the time, made a absolutely monumental shift in my world, and was back to ground zero where I knew I had no idea. I had no job, no prospects, no anything. And I remember reaching out to my now business partner, Eric, Eric Deschamps, and saying to him, hey, do you know any business owners hiring? Like, I need a job. I, I don't know what to do. And he was the one that asked me, it's a famous, it's a joke in Rhapsody, because he asks people this all the time, have you ever thought about coaching? But 12 years ago, I made that shift, completely redefined myself. And here we are now, 12 years later, an incredibly successful business that has been built with the support of my business partners, the support of other people as well. But it's been amazing to see that Rhapsody become what it is, and now Living Richly, even taking that to the next level. So that's probably the thing I'd be most proud of.
Wow. Yeah. And I mean, you and Eric have, like you said, you've done your own podcast now, right? And so what's that all about? Like, what's the story behind it? How do people find it?
Yeah. Well, it launched, and thank you for letting me talk about it a little bit. I mean, the Living Richly podcast, it originally launched with Eric, our other business partner, Trevor, and myself. And it was just came out of the fact that we recognized two things. One, we were all on this journey of really kind of, we had a successful business and asking the question, what now? And then we were seeing it with clients who had this successful business, but feeling empty.
Right.
And that's when we started to lean into this notion of what does it mean to live your best life? What does it look like to live your best life? Over the course of time, about a third of the way into it, Trevor had to step away from the recording of it and being involved in it, because he owns a farm as well as being on the in the business. And so he had some other needs that he had to focus on. And so Eric and I continued to run with it. But our passion is this notion, again, far too many people focus on external success as a way of finding meaning and fulfillment. And if you do that, you're constantly going to be disappointed. It leaves you empty. And so the Living Richly podcast is all about how people can get to the point of living your best life. What does it look like? What does it mean? What is it? How has it played out? It's different for everyone. We're calling it a movement, and we've seen incredible success. The number of downloads and people that are listening on all the different platforms, it's been so exciting to see, and we would love to invite your listeners to take a peek at that one as well. Once they're done listening to your episodes, come and listen to the Living Richly stuff.
Yeah, go check it out. And anything else that you think we may have missed in our conversation? Anything you think our listeners should know more about?
This has been great, Eric. I'm just so excited for what you're doing. There's a need for this. I am absolutely convinced that the more people put aside the Netflix and the other the streaming services, and they start to fill their brain with some content that really can help them grow and develop. And you're doing that. And I think, the stuff that you've covered, the questions you're asking here really are great. I think that's amazing to see happen. The only thing I would add that I didn't get to add, manage to add, I know that you can throw it in the show notes, but certainly encourage people if they want, just the website for Living Richly is just livingrichly.me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We'll include it in the
really
in the show
easy
notes.
Way to remember that. But no, I appreciate it. This has been I've really enjoyed having the chance to chat with you around this stuff.
Yeah, cool. And Rob, how do people get a hold of you? Do you have, like, what's the favorite spot for, like, a website or email address or what?
Yeah, so probably the easiest is, like I say, you can go to livingrichly.me or rhapsodystrategies.com.
Okay.
And both have links to my stuff.
Okay.
My email is rob@rhapsodystrategies.com.
Okay.
But if you type in Rob Dale into Facebook, into Instagram, any of them,
we'll
you're going to
you.
Find me.
Okay.
I usually am one of the first ones to pop up on that list.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Rob, for joining us. This has been great. And I learned so much. I think all the resources that you've talked about, we're going to put in the show notes. And I think there was a lot of value in this conversation today. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Eric.
All right. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor, IC360 Solutions. Working with modern IT should be simple yet secure. If your current provider hasn't made you feel that way, you probably haven't modernized. IC360 Solutions is a modern virtual IT department that will set things up so that they work for you from any location and any type of device. As a Microsoft partner with exclusive focus on their cloud platforms, they will do it right and get you there quickly. Reach out to IC360 at ic360.ca and give your team the latest and greatest platforms so that they can get their work done.
Looks like on our next episode, we have Anastasia Valentine, who discusses some of her secrets to revenue growth that you can use in your small business. Follow now on your podcast provider of your choice and get notified of this episode and the next ones. Don't forget to rate and review the episode. Thanks.